Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the iOS show on the British Tech Network. My name is Paul Wheatley, and finally, for the first time in what feels like months, all four of us are here together. So I am joined rather conspicuously by Mr. McCleary, finally. Some people were starting to suspect we were one and the same person because we hadn't been seen in the same podcast together for weeks.
It's probably just as well we weren't seeing the same podcast, really. Because we just get on so swimmingly, huh? Yeah, sorry. Well, of course, yeah, I was. It was carnage while you were away, Paul. This might have been discussed in my absence last time, but
I only listened to the second of the two shows. I didn't listen to the first one.
I only managed to offend one nation, so I think reasonably we cut our losses. It's nice to be back, and sorry for not turning up in the last one, but I was coming down with nasty things, so I've been doing lots of writhing around, sweating in bed, and feeling much better now.
Very good, very good. To his immediate right is Mr. Ian Mackay. How are you this evening, Ian?
Not bad, thank you, Paul. I have had a satisfying day of debugging code.
Wow.
I am the best at debugging, it is true.
Wow. I spent the day having a blue sky meeting. Those are always the best.
Was the sky actually blue, or do you have to imagine that part?
We had to imagine it. We were essentially inside this little room whereby everybody just had to kind of write on post-it notes some blue sky ideas.
That sounds very exciting. Is that what happens once you kind of finish something? You have to think of a new thing to do?
Yeah, I think so, because I kind of finished one job and I'm moving on to my next one now. And I'm sort of in between them at the moment, so they're just kind of finding things for me to do short term. And so I just kind of got dragged along to just...
Make up the numbers.
Notes and stuff. I think, yeah, essentially. Good fun, though.
Post-it notes are great.
Yeah. There were multicoloured ones. It was like pink ones and yellow ones. And
index cards are good for that as well. I love getting the index cards out. Right, everyone, let's sit in a room with index cards. We'll all become best pals. Never ends well.
Indeed it doesn't. And finally, we have not sacked Sweden's answer to Scott Forstall. He's still with us, as far as we're aware. We did ask him to write an apology note for Roddy's outburst offending multiple nations a few weeks ago, but he refused, but we decided to forgive him for that. So, of course, I am referring to Mr. Street Machine. Mr. Robert Falk, how are you this evening, sir?
Hello, and I am still here, and yes, I'm pretty good. Most ambitious thing I did today was take a walk, though, compared to all your exciting activities.
Well, mine wasn't particularly exciting. The most exciting thing was I had to travel to Glasgow.
Okay. Yeah. That's not too bad, I guess.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Not too bad.
For a blue sky meeting.
For a blue sky meeting in Glasgow.
Glasgow, blue sky.
When it's generally grey and clear.
Oh, I see what you've done there. That's brilliant.
Anyway, moving on. We have some feedback, kind of. Somebody has fed back to us, or perhaps it's just Ian requiring to speak about this some more, but we have some feedback. Apparently everyone thinks we should talk more about Super Hexagon.
I'm done with the hexagon, man.
See, I've
given
it
up.
It's beaten you.
It actually has.
Are you going to let a polygon get the best of you, McCleary?
I have to, man. I was in too deep. It was just... I was playing it all the time, you know? The expense of my family and my friends. But I was looking... You know, see, it made me ill. It's a disease, man. This Super Hexagon thing, it's a cancer.
Anyway, fine. So I'm going to assume that it wasn't actually real feedback. However, I think we can successfully say we've had about four or five shows in a row where we've mentioned Super Hexagon. So
I'm going to delete it because I can't play it anymore.
I may actually download it because I've not done it yet.
It is.
You totally should. Totally.
Cool. Okay, on to the first news article. And as I alluded to in the intros there, Mr. Forstall has upset some... people and
exactly who hasn't he upset inside Apple?
Well, I was quite shocked at that. Maybe I was living under a rock, but I didn't realise that he was this kind of everybody hates him type character. I know he looks it, and frankly, I don't think I'd want to have a beer with him. But I didn't expect that, really.
I find his face quite upsetting, actually. If you look at a photograph of his face for long enough,
I mean,
it's the eyes, man.
Yeah,
it's ghoulish.
Before, but he looks like the child catcher from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. I don't think I would want the child catcher from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang operating iOS in Apple either. So I don't know what the connection is there, but I thought I'd point out.
And a lot of this was down to, apparently, his championing of, and I can't even say the word, skeuomorphic interfaces.
Yeah,
well done.
So
perfect.
All the stitched leather everywhere and the nice felt and game center, and he's just, he loves to have his touchy-feely bits all over the place.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
Can I rephrase that?
There's a lot of this being read into. Oh, I've forgotten the guy's name. Daring Fireball. What'd you call the man?
John Gruber.
Yeah, Gruber.
You mean Gruber.
He kind of goes through quite a few things and refers to an interview with Johnny Ive in The Telegraph, which sort of kind of highlights this issue that Johnny Ive has. And then other news stories have come out of the fact that Johnny Ive would not go into the same meeting as Scott Forstall. And
well, Ive was sort of cagey, though, wasn't he, in The Telegraph interview? He didn't specifically say it. He just said that there were some, you know, something like there were some decisions made. He didn't necessarily agree
That's
with him.
He's a classy gent.
He's classy, isn't he?
I was quite shocked by that. I didn't see it coming. Do you think there was anything to read into the fact that they did this while the stock market was closed, or was it just a coincidence?
That was a good time to bury bad news, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
But you mean like Zynga tried to do it during the Apple?
Well. Yeah.
I think the thing is, if you're making decisive action about something, then that there'll always be a little hit, but it's a good thing overall, isn't it? It shows that you're moving forward.
Yep.
And I mean, I know we've in our show notes, we've just got a little in parentheses below, but Scott Forstall going out for me was not a great big deal, but if it means that we get proper interfaces for some of the apps, that's great. But I was delighted to see John Browett, the Dixons guy, out, because when they hired him, I could not believe it. I was actually aghast that they would hire the guy from Flippin' Dixon's group.
I think
the Apple stores.
I think the UK kind of felt like that as well. I mean, Dixon's, for any American listeners there, Dixon's was not the best retail experience on the planet by any stretch of the imagination. And Dixon Group also had, there were some other companies. Is Comet is part of Dixon or is it Curry's?
Curry's is in Curry's. PC World as well.
World, yeah, yeah. And just horrendous. It was a sport for me when I was a mere student to go into PC World and just confuse the staff in there.
Yeah, the poor guys.
I mean, I can't remember. I read an article. I can't remember who it was, but they were saying if they just put out a release like a few months ago saying John Browett is out, he would have been there like 6 months and that would have looked really bad. So it kind of helped that they've had two people to push out the door, because it's kind of like, oh, well, this is a proper restructuring and stuff, and it all looks a bit more organized and, you know, not like, oh, these guys both suck. And I'm,
one of the best headlines of the year, though. I think it was Outcome the Knives or something.
Oh, possibly something like that.
That was great.
You know, I don't think Scott Forstall necessarily sucks. I think he's just, you know, not the right kind of personality to work with the current team, because he got on just fine with Steve Jobs, it seems, and he was with Steve back in the Next days and came with him from Next to Apple, and a lot of the people that were there were kind of at Apple already, I think. So yeah, he was definitely Steve's guy. I think it was it O'Malik said Forstall forgot he was Steve's guy and not Steve Jobs himself, and that was the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Very good.
Yeah, apparently Forstall kind of saw himself as the CEO. I kind of helped. There was maybe a little bit of hard cheese when he discovered he wasn't getting that. The big goal.
But I love how they announced it too, in a way. I mean, first come this whole huge page full of stuff like, now we will move Scott Forstall out of Apple, and then they're like this and that and this and that. And then in the bottom they say something about, John Browett also got kicked out.
Nobody cares.
Yeah.
I don't think they very explicitly said that Scott Forstall was out, though. It was the very nice kind of roundabout language that, yep, there are some changes and some improvements on our executive team and that kind of thing. And
well, he's technically not out. He's staying on as an advisor for Tim Cook, is he not?
Yeah. Just
to the end of the year, at least.
Coach him for a year.
That's
big true, companies, you never get rid of people immediately. You just kind of say, here's some money, you can't go yet. Here's, we'll let you go when you can't do any more damage, because if you let somebody go when they're just out of the executive team, then they know everything. So you've got to wait until
they're not. Don't let the door hit you on the way out, Forstall.
Yes, don't let the door hit you on the way out in 12 months' time or something like this. I think it's also worth noting that Forstall and John Browett are both people who have kind of presided over things which Apple hasn't done so well recently. Mm-hmm. You know, with Forestall, it was Siri and Maps, and with Brow, obviously, they screwed up the staffing on the Apple stores, and then they had to roll all that back. And they actually put out a press release about that as well. So they're both people who Apple have had to put embarrassing press releases out on behalf of, basically. Mm-hmm. So it's not all that surprising, really, that they're both out there now.
And Tim will not tolerate failure.
Apparently not.
Neither will I.
Mean, this will definitely prove to anyone who has any doubts that it's Tim Cook's company now.
Oh, definitely. So, Craig, Air Force One has put in the show notes here. Federici is head of iOS and macOS. I never heard that before. Was that one of you guys made that up?
Oh, that was in the demo they did of Game Center at the last keynote. So
is it really? I missed
it. It's WWDC.
Okay, brilliant, yeah.
So, moving on to iPads, Apple sells 3 million iPads in 3 days. Is that the iPad 4, or is that the iPad Mini, or is it a combination?
That's a really good question, because I read an article that was grousing about the fact that the Apple weren't calling out the split. You know, they're not calling out which are iPad 3, what the exact makeup of that 3 million iPads is. And I think the article might have been in The Loop, might have been Jim Dalrymple, and he said, you know, how many other... He didn't say it. In fact, now you say that, maybe it wasn't The Loop at all. I was staying corrected on that one. But he said, you know, at least they're calling out the figures explicitly, and it's hard enough to get figures out of any other company, let alone a breakdown. I think the latest visible one was Amazon, who repeatedly kind of, they do big up their numbers, but they don't split it down by Kindle Fire or standard Kindle or anything like that. So.
It seems reasonably successful, though. 3 million in 3 days is, it's nothing to be
seen. Do you know what's really, really cool is that that's not basically almost the same figures as Windows 8 has sold. It was 3 million iPads in 3 days and 4 million Windows 8 in 3 days, is that right?
Yeah. And for reference, they sold 5 million iPhones in 3 days as their biggest opening iPhone weekend. So, yeah, I think it was MG Siegler that pointed that out. It was kind of, you know, Windows is doing okay, but they can't even sell as many copies of Windows as Apple can iPads, just about.
I know.
Sell 400, 500 quid devices, yeah.
And I believe as well that Windows, I may be wrong here, but I'm sure Microsoft in the past count ship as opposed to sales. Usually Apple, when they talk about 3 million iPads in 3 million days, that's 3 million iPads have went into customers' hands in 3 million days. Sorry, 3 million days. 3 days.
That tends to be how other companies do it.
Yeah. Assuming the customers have hands.
Well, we're going to assume that. Although there's loads and loads of good accessibility features.
There is, absolutely. Mm. Yeah.
Ars Technica have done a teardown of the new iPad, and it's really...
No, it was iFix that did the teardown, but Ars Technica were reporting it.
Apologies. So it's actually really a 3.5. I can't help but say, well, no, Sherlock. I'm going to have to bleep that.
Oh, you've done what you've done.
Oh, bleep, Sherlock.
We knew that, didn't we? I mean, am I confused? At no point was under any impression.
Everyone was going, I can't believe they've released the iPad 4 7 months afterwards. And I addressed this in my blog. That's my blog, everyone. If you want to visit it on the internet, it's my blog. Where I basically said, you know, it is an iterative update. It's not one of the great big... revolutionary updates we expect. It's just iterative, and they've confirmed that by the part changes. It's just a little update.
Yes, you actually have more responses in your article than ours does. That might be because ours doesn't allow for comments, but that's by the by.
It does, Paul. I think you're misreading that page.
Don't you have to click on Ars Technica?
Oh, 91. Oh, yeah, you've got to actually expand.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So now it's got 89 more than mine does. Well, you did that on purpose, didn't you?
Just to belittle my blog.
Look, my blog is pink, so it's brilliant.
But I would say that that a lot of these articles saying, "Oh, it's just an iPad 3.5," are written from a very US-centric perspective, and the fact that it now has worldwide 4G in the iPad, I don't know what we're going to call it, the new iPad, is great for everyone outside the US, because now we can enjoy those lovely fast mobile broadband speeds, assuming we have a network that can support it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do have an EE.
well, we have a network that can allegedly support it, but we haven't actually really, nobody's really used it very much yet. So
yeah, I'm going to hold off on that one, I think.
Well, I was quite shocked by the prices. We're maybe going down a bit of a rabbit hole here, but I got the email to say that, yes, come along, please sign up, please sign up. And the prices for a month, I think it was a 24-month contract, 500 meg, which frankly I would chew through in a week at least, it was 50 quid.
They can ram that up their pipe.
Yeah. I just couldn't believe that, considering that my 3G, as in the 3 network, 3G sim, is, I don't know, it's like 12 or 13 quid, I can't quite remember. And it's lightning fast in comparison to Orange, O2 and Vodafone. Mm-hmm. So I'm more than happy with my 3. I couldn't believe that. And that's unlimited data as well with 3. Whereas 500 meg for 50 quid. It wasn't quite 50,
see,
I think it was like 48 or something.
I don't think there's enough stuff to consume yet. I don't find anything on my mobile devices is so slow on 3G that it doesn't keep up. Mm. And so I'm not quite convinced yet. Yeah. Anyway, it is a rabbit hole. Let's climb up the rabbit hole like rabbits.
We can make it somewhat more topical, I think. I think I'm right in saying, Paul, that 24-month contract, was it the SIM-only one you were looking at?
I was at the SIM-only, yeah.
Yeah, I investigated this at the time because I was like, that's more, because the weird thing was it was more expensive than the 18-month contract. Mm-hmm. And apparently it's because that 24-month contract actually comes with a tablet included in the price.
Okay.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I think so. That's what I heard.
Internets.
Yes. Well, let's not go to the internet now. We're recording.
No, don't blow up the recording.
Okay.
And anyway. I thought I was unprofessional when I ran this podcast.
But basically, I think it was a big... There was a big fat asterisk next to that price, I think, so it's worth checking.
Okay. Well, I will push on and see if I can find out the actual cost before the end of the show. But
you push on, Paul.
I will push on. The fourth generation iPad's new GPU is a quad-core monster.
Good.
Yeah. Mm. Great. Thanks for that. Apple releases iOS 6.0.1 with improvements and bug fixes for screen glitches, Wi-Fi, and more. So have you guys upgraded to 6.0.1?
Yeah, and I've noticed no difference whatsoever.
I didn't have any problems really with vanilla 6, so, and I've not really heard of any problems either. I mean, I know that especially things like Wi-Fi glitches previously I've heard a lot about, but I've not heard much chatter about this one.
Yeah, I've had some issues, but I'm not convinced. I've still got to do a little bit of testing, so I've not upgraded to 6.0.1 because my good lady, my lady wife, she has exactly the same phone as mine. We bought them at the same time. The only difference is hers is white. We both upgraded to 6. However, she upgraded with a plug-in to our Mac and did a kind of full restore, whereas I did an over-the-air update. And for some reason, I don't know if it's even remotely connected, this may be a stupid suggestion, but she gets signal in so many more places than me. The downstairs of our house, I get zero signal anywhere, and she's on 3 bars. We both used to get 3 bars of signal down there, and I don't anymore. So what I plan to do is, the reason I haven't done 6.0.1 is because I plan to actually do a restore using the new software on my iMac to see if that fixes the problem. But
I have actually heard that is an issue with over-the-air updates for major versions, that something to do with the on-device update procedure, they can't kind of flash the firmware completely as they would if they're
maybe
doing
not
it from
doing
a machine.
The baseband or something.
Yeah, so there's something they can't redo in the same way as they can from a machine. I think it's definitely worth doing that with your phone, but it's also... it's interesting because over-the-air updates are obviously not all they're cracked up to be.
Mm, yes, it would appear so. I think it's fine for like little incremental ones, but certainly not for big numbers by the looks of things anyway.
You will keep us posted, won't you, Paul?
I of course I will. Just to clarify the previous point there, 500 megabytes without any, like unsubsidized, just a SIM. It was a 12-month contract, not a 24-month contract, apologies. £46.
Per month.
£46 per month, 500 megabyte, 12-month plan, and that's with no, as far as I can see anywhere, there's no kind of devices or, you know, giving me a free, I don't know, Russian wife or something like that. I don't know. There's nothing at all.
And you've got a wife already now, Paul, so that would be totally surplus to requirements.
Of course.
So, yeah, so £46 for 500 meg. I will not be jumping at that one, frankly. Okay, moving on swiftly. We have finally, sorry, just reading through. Apple has reported the lost ownership of the iPhone, spelt with a big capital F for Freddy, trademark in Mexico.
That was careless.
Yeah, well, this has been going for a little while, I seem to remember. Apparently this group, this phone, I'm not actually sure who they are, if they're like a telecom or what it is, but they apparently had the iPhone trademark, I-F-O-N-E, for about 4 years before the iPhone appeared. So, and they've lost that. So there you go.
It'll be down the back of the sofa.
That could be where they found it. Yeah, I lost it, yeah. Yeah. No, but they registered like ages ago, and then Apple comes along and tries to sue their butts off because, hey, you're not supposed to use iPhone. That's our property. And, yeah, someone else used it before they did.
It's under that bloke's sombrero.
Ah, that's where it is.
Okay, okay. Finally, we have somebody giving a review of the iPad Mini. Have any of you guys touched an iPad Mini yet?
I've touched a lot of things, but not an iPad Mini.
I have
yet.
Not. No, but it seems that there have been quite a few reviews come out since the last time we recorded, and most of them are pretty positive, except for the screen.
Yeah,
and they say it's amazing. It's really thin and light and tiny, and you know I can see myself taking this thing everywhere. And a lot of people are saying because it's so portable, it makes much more sense to get the 4G option than with the previous iPad. But you know, people are saying, well, the screen is not great, but for the price, what do you expect? So,
And if anyone's seen the screen, is it? I mean, are we talking like a 3GS quality screen?
No, not at all. A colleague of mine has one, and I just played with it today when we were in Glasgow, and then both of us had to nip for our. We couldn't really leave Glasgow without a nip to the Apple store for the homage. So we wandered in there, and we were kind of looking. He's got a black one, and we were looking at the white one, just looking at the difference in the. How it looks and things like that, and I honestly couldn't see that much of a difference. I think it was a beautiful screen. I cannot wait. I pre-ordered a 3G one, and so that hopefully should be in my grubby paws in the next kind of 3 or 4 weeks.
Does it feel like the screen is right up to the glass, like the 4 does? So it's not retina, but it does have that kind of bonded look.
It does, but to be honest, I don't know whether it's the fact that my eyesight's pretty horrendous or what it is, but I can see the difference between holding up with them, like the iPad 2 and the iPad 3. I can see the difference between that. The retina. Mm-hmm. However, with this one, even though it's not retina as in the iPad Mini, I really couldn't see that much of a difference. It looked like a lovely screen. And to be honest, all I would be doing with it would be kind of reading books. And to be honest, my iPad 2 was fine for that. The iPad 3 is nice, but it's not that huge a difference. Reading emails, maybe a little bit of web browsing, and a couple of games or something like that. But I don't even play any of your kind of... with that epic title, something sword, I can't remember what it's called.
Infinity Blade.
Infinity Blade, that's it. I don't play any of that kind of stuff. It's like Angry Birds and Letterpress and Where's My Water and stuff like that.
Which you should get Super Hexagon, it's really good.
Yeah, that's Super Hexagon in the App Store, available now.
You could also get the soundtrack for a very reasonable amount of money.
Are you guys being sponsored by this and just not giving me a cut?
What? No, yes.
Hexagons.
That's the iOS show on British Tech Network, sponsored by UK2 and Super Hexagon.
We should maybe loving that commission. Them, actually.
We really should.
Maybe
well,
we
last
can
time,
get a retroactive sponsorship.
But they've got a court order for him now.
We'll just send an invoice to Terry Kavanagh. I'm sure he'll pay it.
Indeed, indeed.
Did you get to touch it around the back?
Yes, I did. I'm going to try and keep this clean. So what do you mean by
is
that?
Is it sort of... Oh, it's all anodized, isn't it?
Mm, it is.
Is it like matte, kind of nice? Yeah.
I have to admit I was a little disappointed because I have not seen... Oh, no, I have actually. I'm lying about that. I was going to say I have not seen an iPhone 5, but I have.
Mm-hmm.
There was something just a little bit... It didn't look the same, and I assumed that the iPad Mini was going to just be exactly the same on the back, just obviously bigger.
Uh-huh.
And there was something about it just kind of didn't look quite the same. It almost looked sort of navy blue plastic. I might be completely wrong there, but that was just certainly what it looked like for me. To be honest, I was sitting in a taxi, and it was about maybe 5 minutes I was sitting, and I was kind of scrolling through. I had a look at the Kindle app, Angry Birds Space, a couple other apps like that. But I was really, really impressed with it. I've been carrying about my Kindle Fire HD now for 2 weeks, and I love it. But what's missing for me is the 3G. So when I ordered the iPad Mini, I decided I was going to get the 3G, and I actually think I'm not going to have any use for my iPad anymore, because I carry about a MacBook Pro and my iPad. So if the iPad Mini then comes along, I've got absolutely no need for my iPad. So I will be sticking that bad boy on eBay as soon as my iPad Mini arrives. But I'm really, really looking forward to it. And I also, for anybody who's interested, because I'm just doing a really nice little segue into the next section that we're adding in, I really, really like the Kindle Fire HD as well. It's a really nice
get out. Off you go. You're not welcome here.
The only thing about it is, and I'm going to see if we can hear this on the microphone. Tell me if you can hear any strange things.
I can hear silence, which is never good in a podcast. Well, dead air, man, dead air.
It's the build quality. I'm a little disappointed with the Kindle Fire, and maybe it's just because I've been spoiled with Apple stuff.
Build quality, something you usually look at or feel rather than listen to.
Well, what I was trying
to
show there was, if you kind of hold it kind of in the middle, so you've got your kind of hands at the back.
Paul, you do know they can't see us, don't you?
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to describe it. I'm painting a word picture. When I squeeze it, there's a lot of play. Can you
use it as a wobble board like Rolf Harris?
No, you can't. You can't wobble it that way.
I'm really disappointed.
Still talking about the Kindle Fire.
I am still. What are you guys suggested that we do a section called "Looking at the Competition"? And that's what we're doing.
What is Paul wobbling in his hands?
Really nice.
What's it feel like?
It's just when you squeeze it, it's gone up. When you squeeze it, it's got a little bit too much play for my liking.
Does it make any funny noises too, like when you squeeze?
No, it doesn't, but you can hear it kind of clicking.
Okay. And around the other side, how does it look?
Which would be the screen side.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not funny anymore.
Sorry on that.
You've ruined it.
Okay.
Then one criticism I've heard of the Kindle Fire, other than the build quality, because, I mean, I think Apple pretty much have build quality sorted over most of their other competitors, but the sort of Android fork running on the Kindle Fire has been oft maligned in articles I've read. I mean, do you find... I guess the trade-off is that there are nicer builds of Android out there, you know, and the newer ones. Yeah. Jelly Bean and whatever, but then with the Kindle Fire, you're working on a slightly older, slightly shonky fork, but it does have that integration into the into Amazon's media ecosystem. So
it's fine. There's a few kind of little UI things that just really I don't like about it. So you basically, when you open it up, right in the middle, you've got a kind of a hierarchical, sorry, not a historical view of everything that you've ever done on the machine. So like it's showing me the book that I'm
trouble.
Sorry.
That sounds like trouble.
Well, it's just apps and books and stuff like that. So it's shown me a list of, since I've originally opened up the device, all the books and apps I have opened in that time. The really cool thing is directly below it, it then shows you like the books in the forescreen, and then customers also bought these other books relating to the book that you're currently reading. And equally, when you look at apps, it shows other apps. Now, when I first opened this up, I thought, oh, that's interesting. I didn't know I owned all those apps, because I didn't read the tiny little print at the top of it that says customers also bought. So I just tapped on it, and lo and behold, I then bought it. Yeah, which was a little bit frustrating. But to be fair, it was something I was interested in anyway, as it happens.
So is one click ordering the default on it then?
No, I think you can switch that off, to be fair.
Yeah, but is it the default?
No, I possibly switched it on.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not 100%.
Being clever, yeah.
If I were Amazon, I would make it the default.
Yeah, I think they have. I appear to have somehow got myself stuck in Angry Birds space at the moment. I can't get myself back out. Because that's the other thing. It doesn't have a hardware home button, the home button software. So if an app is taking up the whole screen, you can't actually immediately see the way out of it.
Can I say something about that? I know a thing that I can say.
All right, you say it.
I read a great, and I hope you didn't cover this last time, but there was a thing about the Kindle, Amazon's advertising for the Kindle Fire, and they've had a big splash on the Amazon.com or your local site, bigging up the features of the Kindle Fire against the iPad Mini. Mm-hmm. which is of course the competition. And they were saying that it can play HD plays movies in HD, but somebody called out that it doesn't because it has black borders at the top and bottom. And while the display itself is technically high definition, once the movie is letterboxed, it isn't. And they've pulled it. So
they also said that the iPad Mini didn't have stereo speakers before anyone knew whether it had stereo speakers, and it turns out it does. The first in fact, the first, I think, iOS device to have stereo speakers. Ooh. Yep.
Ah, well, there you go.
If I would just like to inject a little thing there, my main gripe with any of the Kindles is that, well, I can't buy them here.
Oh, you don't have a Kindle an Amazon store, do you?
Amazon doesn't exist up here, and neither does it in large chunks of the world. But I can buy an iPad Mini. Hmm. So I think that pretty much covers that base, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite nice integration with the store and stuff. It's just it's kind of clunky in the interface, which is a bit of a shame. And I had a couple of experiences yesterday whereby I was trying to buy a book, and it just kept on telling me that I was not connected to the internet, even though my Wi-Fi clearly was enabled, and I was browsing the store and finding the book I wanted. And then when I asked to buy, it told me I wasn't connected to the internet. So it was just funny little things like that are not ideal.
Feels a little bit 1.0.
Sorry?
After you, Robert.
Oh, right.
I just thought it felt a little bit 1.0 software.
Yeah, it does a bit. Ruddy, what delight were you going to throw with us?
You're loving that Kindle Fire that doesn't work.
For what I needed it for, which is basically I wanted to be able to read books on the train without lumping out my iPad. That's exactly what it does. It fits in my inside jacket pocket rather snugly, and it's exactly what it does that job really, really well. It has lots of other problems, and that's why I plan to get rid of it when my iPad Mini arrives. But you know, I think if you
when you do get it, get rid of it humanely.
I will. It will be sent off to the good people at eBay, I think. But I think if you were already in the Android universe and you were completely open to spending £150 and getting what you pay for, then you probably would be quite happy. But there's a few little bugs in it for me. I think I'd be quite disappointed if I was now stuck with it. So anyway, moving on to other competition. Xbox.
I've ruined your really neat link now, haven't I?
Yeah, have a bit. But
sorry.
Xbox rumored to be bringing out an Xbox tablet. So this is an article on Mac Rumors, so we have to believe it. Just as Apple's iPad Mini joins the market of smaller tablets and displays of 7 to 8 inches, The Verge has reported... Oh, no, sorry, it was The Verge. We're reading an article on Mac Rumors. How very meta. that Microsoft is preparing to launch its own 7-inch tablet. Interestingly, rather than simply being a smaller version of its just-launched 10-inch Surface tablet, the forthcoming Xbox Surface tablet will be a gaming-focused device running a scaled-down version of Windows.
Hang on. Isn't Windows RT already a scaled down version of Windows?
Yeah, but to be fair,
so they can have a scaled down version of Windows. I'm confused.
It's the return of Windows CE.
Fair though, Microsoft haven't quite diluted their message enough. You know, they kind of feel there's the off chance there's some people out there that aren't completely confused by their tablet offerings, so they just felt
this is stupid, isn't it? Because what you're basically doing is they're taking on the iPads and the Kindle Fire and everything else with the Surface, and the Surface will have the Windows Store, and the Windows Store will have nice games that you can play in Windows RT, and then they're going to bring it along an Xbox tablet saying, but this one's for gaming, but according to the rumored specs, it's going to be more powerful for gaming than the Surface, so your games for the Xbox tablet won't work on the Surface tablet. And then people are going to go, well, I've bought this Surface and now I'm not getting the games that the other tablet's getting, and it's not going to work.
Yeah.
I hear the Surface is for work, though, Roddy.
Surface is for work, and it's not a tablet. It's a cross between a PC and a tablet, or a laptop and a
Windows
tablet.
Is for work. Windows is for work, as far as Microsoft's concerned, and
Steve
Xbox is for gaming.
He hates himself as much as he hates us.
I think I'll just go buy a 3DS right away.
I have a 3DS, and I love my 3DS, and I would not change that for a tablet gaming device at all.
Would you change it for a PS Vita?
I might, but I love Mario, and I basically my new wife, not my old one.
Sorry, have you got married recently, Paul?
I have, yeah. I've mentioned it a couple of
times. I didn't know that.
she bought me the 3DS as a wedding present to essentially keep me quiet on the plane.
That's always
so
a good sign.
So she stopped using
right
the pair of socks then, has she?
I successfully managed to complete the new Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers 2, and Mario 3DS during my honeymoon. I think I was doing something wrong, to be fair. I'm not sure that's quite what you're supposed to achieve.
People on the plane must have been looking over at you, just engrossed in your DS and gone, man, that marriage is on the rocks and they're just tick.
But I like my 3DS.
All marriages come to that eventually.
Ah, dear. Yep. Cool. Okay.
So the Xbox tablet is stupid then?
I think so. I just don't think that, like, kind of proper gaming, and what I mean by that is, I don't mean that's derogatory, but I mean, like, kind of your Call of Duty, your Red Dead Redemption, that kind of thing, just doesn't work on a tablet because your thumbs are in the way. I've tried to play kind of, you know, Max Payne came out, and you've got Grand Theft Auto's out on the iPad, and the Dark Knight, Batman the Dark Knight. And none of them are particularly good. Those that kind of have the story working and a little bit of the graphics, you just the controls are quite clunky. They're all faring well for kind of socially type gaming, so you're Cut the Ropes, your Angry Birds and that kind of thing. It's great for that, but I just don't think tablets are the way to go for hardcore gaming. And I think Xbox getting into this market is just a kind of a Me Too strategy.
Sorry, I'm just looking at Ian. For viewers at home, Ian has just stuck a picture up on our shared chat of Pierce Brosnan. What's he doing, Ian? Are you trying to put me off my stroke or something?
He's clearly playing Mario Kart in the back of a car.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is that the one? Which one is that? Is that not GoldenEye? Is it the one after Tomorrow Never... No,
it's
The
World Is Not Enough. Yeah, I think so.
Tomorrow Never Dies, where he's steering a BMW with his phone.
Yes, which was like a Sony Ericsson, I think.
And what they've hilariously done is they've transposed a DS into it, so he's playing Mario. That's uncommonly funny, Ian.
I thought it was topical. So
yeah, you put that in the show notes. That's a beauty.
Yeah, we will. We'll put that in the
show wouldn't notes. See Daniel Craig doing that kind of thing, I'll tell you that. He'd be taking it seriously, the murder and that.
Google Voice Search now available for iOS.
That sounds quite exciting.
This is all over the place, these show notes. I've had nothing to do with these show notes tonight, so we're supposed to be looking at the competition now. We've got an article about Google Voice Search available.
I think you've missed some out, though. Hang on, we've got Android market share growth. Are we missing that out?
We're running short. We're running long, so.
Oh, really? Are we still talking about your Kindle Fire?
Very, very quickly. Android market share growth slowed over the past 6 months. This was Fortune articles in CNN. Is it plateauing? Are we at a situation where everybody on the planet that wants a tablet has a tablet?
Yes. So it seems that the market is plateauing a bit, that most people who want a smartphone kind of have one, and there aren't very many new subscribers for Android to pick up. There's also, you know, an interesting phenomenon, which is the market share of RIM kind of disappearing into nothingness and Android picking up most of those subscribers. But as RIM is now almost dead, there aren't very many other phone users they can pick up at this point.
Yeah, the shares went up this week, though, rather confusingly.
It's all relative, isn't it?
Yeah.
By how much? By what fraction of a decimal point?
I can't honestly remember, but I remember seeing it because I've got their shares in a watch list ticker thing. And I remember.
Oh, God, I thought you meant you had their shares.
No, I haven't bought any shares in RIM. I had shares in RIM, but I got rid of them. Notice the other day that they went up a little bit, which is kind of funny. Anyway, I don't think it's completely kind of smashed. I think this Christmas you might actually see a massive peak, and then it might plateau after that, because I've got a funny feeling that a number of people will be getting iPad minis and Kindle Fire HDs in their stockings or in their gussets. That would have been a really nice link, apart from the fact that we've still got
had we not
articles.
Got to go back to Google Voice Search. Will we get this Google Voice Search?
Yeah, I think the Google Voice Search is interesting for two reasons. Firstly, because it's bloody fast, and Siri is kind of good, but it's not that quick. So Google Voice Search is more or less instant as soon as you say something, which is, you know, technically hugely impressive.
And it's on the App Store now, is it?
I believe so, yes. I haven't actually tried it out. It may be that it's you can do it via google.com or something. But okay. I should really check that article.
I'm having a look right now on the App Store.
I was speaking to Nuance earlier on, was it last week? It was last week, I've forgotten all my days now. And they're still doing some awesome stuff, even though they've sold Siri to Apple. They're still doing some awesome stuff in that space. And what they're trying to do is they're coming around and kind of speaking to people who might be interested in building apps with voice functionality integrated. So, for example, they were speaking to us. I work in the financial sector. I think I probably mentioned that before. And they were speaking to us about building an app whereby you just speak to the app and just kind of say, what is my balance? And it then says back to you, or I want to change my address, and then it says back to you. It was really quite cool stuff.
Interesting.
The other interesting thing about this Google... Yeah, so it's in the Google Search app, which is on the App Store. The other interesting thing about it, I think, is, well, it's kind of sort of replicating functionality that's built into iOS. And I'm thinking, if Apple have approved Google's voice search in this app, then Google have been making noises this week about, oh, we've got this Maps app ready to go, but we don't know if Apple are going to approve it. It's like, well, of course they will if it fits within the guidelines. If you can do a voice search, which is like a headline feature on iPhone, if you can put that in your app, of course they're going to let you put Maps on.
Yeah, and they just maybe don't.
I mean, there are already tons of apps.
Yeah, they for maybe Maps. Just don't want to be too bullish about it. That's all.
Oh, they're so bullish.
Okay, okay. That is basically the news, unless anybody, because Ian, you're bound to want to jump back to an article that you haven't said enough about.
Yep, totally. I just wanted to say...
Is it one that's got lots of numbers in it?
No. It's just I wanted to very briefly mention on the executive reshuffle the fact that Bob Mansfield, the head of hardware who had retired, has now come back for another 2 years. Because he retired, then he unretired, and apparently now that Forstall's gone, he's happier to stay on than he was before, which is good for Apple, because...
That's just taking two and two and making four. Maybe you've read a different article to me, but all the articles I've read have suggested that might be a reason, but there's nothing actually 100% confirming.
No, indeed, but I think the timing is a little...
It's interesting. It is interesting, yeah.
Yes, I think there's more than a coincidence going on there, but I think it's interesting as well because Bob Mansfield is a really good guy in Apple, and he's got huge respect and has been instrumental to their success over the last few years because he's been so good at the hardware side of things. So, interesting.
Got to respect the Mansfield, Joe. He is huge. He's like a walrus of tech.
He looks like meatloaf.
Kiss me.
He does look like
that's
me.
What he'd say.
And he'll crush you with his huge hand.
So
looks like one huge hand.
He'll do anything for Apple, but he won't do that.
Now that Bob Mansfield's back, I expect Steve Jobs will be back next.
We're just filled with show titles this week.
We really are.
Right, okay, Trouble Gusset. We practically every show for the last kind of 4 weeks, four shows, have discussed this YouTube issue. So we have a bit of follow-up because Ian tried Jasmine. We'll just leave it at that.
Suggested by a listener last week, and it's pretty good. And I also noticed it was made by the same folks as made the Reddit client Streak recommended many months ago, which is Alien Blue, which is a really good Reddit client. They've got lavished the same kind of attention to detail on the interface. I've been very impressed with it.
So this was your concern about the fact that YouTube app has gone, and you were trying to find something else that did the same job. And Streak.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think any app is going to pick up the YouTube URLs and kind of automatically update, but that's okay. I can just about live without that.
Okay, cool. And related to that, now I have to admit this I've kind of thrown this in, so the guys haven't had a chance to look into this one. But I just remembered that a friend of mine actually gave me a Trouble Gusset at the weekend, and I was supposed to mention it tonight. So apologies if neither of you've heard about this. But a friend of mine, his name is Grant. He has an iPhone 5, and he was trying to send a video from YouTube to my Apple TV at the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was using, in his opinion, the official YouTube app, but I can't 100% confirm or deny that. And when he was trying to send the video, it came up and said that he had to enable mirroring.
However,
when he opened the same video up in Safari on his iPhone, it sent to the Apple TV without question, without a pause or a heartbeat or anything. I apologise, we have just kind of thrown this on you, so there's every chance.
This is on a phone, not an iPad.
No, this is an iPhone 5, and it came up and said that you had to enable mirroring to do it. But if you did it in Safari, it worked fine.
That's really odd. I've not seen that one, I'm afraid.
Nope. Anybody else?
No, that's new. That's new to me too. I've heard of other weird issues, but that one I have not heard of.
Yeah, I don't have an Apple TV, so I'm afraid I can't comment.
No, okay.
And I don't have an iPhone 5.
Oh, we are a bunch.
Aren't we?
If anybody in listener land there has experienced that or knows of a solution or anything like that, I would be very interested to find out about it. But yeah, so that was an interesting one. Okay. The next one is from a gentleman named Gordon Humphrey. Thank you, Gordon, for emailing us in. Game Center has stopped working when playing letterpress. Yes.
But I don't think it has anymore now, has it?
I think they did some changes and stuff to fix that.
It looked awfully like, I don't know whether it was letterpress or game. My gut feeling was that letterpress being so popular had almost overloaded Game Center.
Yeah,
it went all to hell for a bit.
Yeah, apparently the story behind this is that Apple don't have any skin in the game, if you like, when it comes to Game Center. And so they don't really spend a huge amount of time kind of doing any kind of testing it or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So when you get a game coming along that's using Game Center for some ridiculous reason, it ends up being a huge hit, which letterpress was, Game Center isn't really kind of laid out to do that. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't had any kind of deep pen testing or anything like that, or deep soak testing, for it to be able to take that kind of weight. And I believe that's all it was. It was just Game Center was not up to the challenge of having a game that actually was quite popular in its rank.
Letterpress sits on Game Center. Game Center says, ow.
Exactly.
Yeah, because Game Center is kind of like the iCloud of games. You know, you can. I say this because you can transfer data between devices and things, and that's what Letterpress does. It uses Game Center to synchronize your games between devices and all this kind of stuff. So it puts a lot more load on Game Center than most other games do, which just kind of have pretty trivial stuff like achievements
post
and scores
score
and things.
Yeah.
I mean, and why would you go into Game Center for most games? But this one is actually integral to the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And it does matching and stuff. You know, it's the first game I've played where to play against somebody else, I've got to find them on Game Center first.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Cool.
Great game, though.
So hopefully that'll get better in the future too, now that Mr. Forstall isn't running certain things anymore.
At least Game Center will start to look a little bit more sensible rather than a poker table. So
I think they'll let the Eddie Q run the backbone stuff more intensely too. Mm-hmm. And he has done pretty good work with other, like, Apple online services.
Even now, Scott Forstall, in his role as special advisor to Tim Cook, is running in a hamster wheel in data centers to keep things running.
AQ is standing behind him with a whip. Run, run.
I'm a bit weirded out. You see, when it's okay when Scott Forstall, with his kind of weird face and scary eyes, when you go, where's Scott Forstall? And the answer is, well, he's at Apple. But now, like, you don't know where he is. He could be behind you right now. He could be in your cupboard.
Yeah.
It could be drilling holes through your ceiling.
Moving on. So the answer, Gordon, is hopefully the problem has been fixed for you, but the problem was, in fact, that letterpress was highly popular. George Wilson has asked us, my iPhone is still running iOS 5, and some of my apps have new versions that require iOS 6. What happens if I tap update all? Any ideas, gentlemen?
I think we should get Ian, who hasn't updated, to press it.
You might have to wait a minute. I have an app that requires iOS 6. I'm going to see what happens when I tap update.
These are live updates coming blow by blow from iOS.
How about you guys go on to the next question while I try this out?
Okay.
Just back. Wait till we hear his blood-curdling scream.
Hopefully it's not one that he kind of deals with day-to-day. The best way to capture receipts on my iPhone... this is from Andrew Saunders.
Blue Tack.
I just use the camera app. I capture receipts on my phone all the time. And I've tried to use the apps that kind of do it. But the first one that I did, I was using for a couple of weeks. And then I got around to opening it up to download them all and put them in my accounts. And the app crashed and I lost all the photos.
Oh, no.
So that was a bit of a pain in the arse.
Wouldn't just an idea, something like Evernote?
I was going
would
to suggest
that be
that
any
too.
Use?
Yeah, I think Evernote probably would work. I was, certainly for me, I didn't use Evernote. I just used the camera app because I kind of find that's a little bit more reliable. But it's a fair point. Evernote might work.
And if you were lucky enough to buy Mac Heist recently, then Evernote was bundled in that with 3 months as well, I think, of Pro membership.
Right, okay.
So if you did happen to have bought Mac Heist, but... oh, right, okay, 1 year plus 3 months. But there were a lot of apps in there, so you might not have noticed if you had bought Mac Heist. So have a look.
No, I didn't do Mac Heist. So, Andrew, if you did Mac Heist, then that's maybe an idea for you to try out Evernote there. As I say, I just use the camera on my phone. The primary reason is because then you don't have to unlock your phone, open up an app to then take a photograph of the receipt. You can just take a photograph of the receipt. from the lock screen. So that's what I do. So hopefully that's
one advantage with Evernote. Otherwise, would be that it has built-in OCR. So if you want just the text of the receipt, then that would be built-in.
Does Evernote have that when you're like taking photographs from a camera, or is that just on a scanner?
I think it has both. As long as it's an image, I think it can deal with it. I tossed a number of things into it, and it has managed to do pretty okay.
It clearly has built-in Twain drivers.
Well, there you go. That's what you need.
You can't stop yourself from saying these things, can you?
Twain!
Twain drivers.
Ian, do we have an answer on the iOS 5 to iOS 6 apps yet?
Well, the update all seems to be inconclusive, but if I try and update the one app that I've got that requires iOS 6, it just says, this app requires iOS 6, which is not very helpful, really.
It's informative, to a degree.
So I have been surprised, actually, as somebody who still has iOS 5 on the phone, how many apps coming out now seem to require iOS 6. I would have thought, you know, it's only been out a few months. I would have waited maybe 6 months before requiring iOS 6.
They're trying to exclude losers like you, Mackay.
Yeah, well, it's not working. Well, it is working, but it shouldn't work.
Hey, at least you can update. I'm well beyond that point. Yes. But actually, I stopped seeing updates, so at least I got that stuff finally working. That's been bothering me for, I don't know, well over a year now.
Cool. I think that's the trouble gusset emptied. So we will move on swiftly now to thank our wonderful sponsors, UK2. They have been sponsoring the British Tech Network for 3 years now, and they have just recently signed up to continue sponsoring us for another 2 years, so clearly they don't listen to this show. They have given us a bunch of voucher codes for all sorts of different discounts on their services. If you head on over to the britishtechnetwork.com, click on the sponsors link, you will then see all of the voucher codes there. So you've got ones for DNS, 20% off domains, VPN, and so on and so forth. If you click on the UK2 link there, fill your basket with everything you need. You've got web services, you've got private servers, you've got DNS management, everything like that. Then pop in the voucher codes. So they are basically, you've got DNS, domains, VPN, server, and VPS, and just add British Tech to the front. So British Tech DNS, British Tech domains, and so on and so forth. And then you get money off all these amazing services from UK2. Also, if you're logging into your account as well, we'd really, really appreciate it if you could meander on through the British Tech Network and click on their link while you're logging into the site, just so that they know that we sent you. So that's it, UK2, they sponsor British Tech, and you should support them. Thank you very much. Gentlemen.
Hello.
We kind of sound like we've got a bit of a static on the line.
Oh,
it's
do we?
No, it's gone. It was there. It's gone. Anyway,
Ian, are you sure it's not your voice, Paul?
It possibly is. It just sounds like white
Paul,
noise to me.
Yes. What's going on?
What is your pick this evening, sir?
Oh, my pick. Well, my pick requires a very short story, so I'm going to tell that.
Here we go.
What is it about my story? It has no numbers in. Jeez.
Okay.
At least the numbers would be interesting.
So last year, maybe the year before sometime, a friend recommended an app to me, which was called...
Crap way to start a story. Maybe sometime in the...
Fine. When I was in
Once
NAM...
Once upon a time, there was a little princess called Ian...
Do you want to tell my story, or are you going to let me tell my story?
You wouldn't want me to tell the story.
It's history. All right. A friend of mine recommended me an app the other year called Air Video. And Air Video is something that lets you play videos that are on your computer. You have a companion app that runs on your computer, and you can stream anything you've got from your computer to your iOS device, which is great. But I recently bought myself a NAS. So I wanted an app that would play all the stuff on my NAS. The NAS came with a built-in UPnP server. So that serves video in a specific format to anything that can play that sort of video. And as you would expect, there are lots and lots of UPnP-compatible video players on the App Store. And I'm afraid to say that most of them are absolutely terrible, except this one, which I've just found, which is called AirPlayer. It's $2.99, and it just blows the other ones I've tried out of the water. It is much more reliable. It is just a breath of fresh air. So if you're looking for a UPnP video player, or it's also called DLNA, look out AirPlayer, because it's much, much better than the rest.
It's got a kind of zingy icon as well.
Yes.
Zingy icon.
It's got a bit of oomph and snazz about it.
Okay.
And I note as well, it only requires iOS 3 or later. So both Streak and Ian can use it.
Yay!
There you go. Speaking of which, Streak, what is your app choice for this evening?
I have been continuing my rummaging around in the big bag of apps I bought over the years, and I found Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney, originally on the good old Game Boy Advance, if I'm not mistaken, also available on iOS devices. It's a point-and-click adventure where you take the role as a up-and-coming young lawyer-type person, and you try to solve
crime. Objection! Objection!
Exactly!
It's a great game.
It really is.
Cool. Okay. And
that was nicely timed, Ian. In fact, Robert, were we last time I was on? Did we talked about Crazy Taxi briefly? And did you or Ian mention Jet Set Radio? Say yes.
I did. I think.
Yeah, yeah, I'm fairly sure one of you did. And I was just I was having a rummage on the Xbox store, whatever they call it now. Xbox Live Arcade, I don't know what they call it now, and Jet Set Radio is on there. So if you do want a fix of that, it's on the, you know, the Xboxes, it's popular Xboxes. Yes.
Getting that is like a cultural deed, if you ask me.
All just right. A little aside, but Phoenix Wright is a great game.
Cool. It is.
And in fact, can I have another little link?
Okay.
It's pertinent. Okay. That, on the subject of Xboxes and Phoenix Wright, I was thinking of Phoenix Wright just today because I've been playing L.A. Noire, and it has loads of bits where you question witnesses, and it's dead like Phoenix Wright, but not quite as exciting.
Okay.
I'll shut up now.
Cool. Well, no, I don't want you to shut up because it's time for your pick.
No, I've shut up now. It's too late. I'm afraid I'm letting you all down a bit with the pick this week because I've not actually used anything, bought anything new. The reason for this is that I've picked up Bejeweled Blitz, which I was addicted to a while back, a few years ago, and have just picked up again. I love it. I'm sure Bejeweled Blitz used to be a game mode in Bejeweled 2, but it now has its own application. So it's a free game from PopCap. It does try and rope you into buying lots of sort of add additional powers with coins, and to buy coins you need to buy actual coins to use actual money to top it up. But I don't play with the bonus things because they weren't in the old game, I don't think, and I'm a real man, so I'm playing it vanilla. And so everyone else is beating me. But it's a great game. If you've not tried Bejeweled Blitz, it is free and it's great. One other very quick pick I've got, and this is one I've been toying with for a little bit, but hesitated to recommend at first, and that's the Barclays mobile banking application, which was a little bit ropey at first. This isn't Ping It, but their actual mobile banking app, and it's fantastic. It's really, really easy to log into. You can use it as a mobile version of your secure card reader thing for logging into the full internet banking thing, and it's great. You can make payments and everything. The only limitation I've noticed is that you can't add a new payee into your payment, so which makes sense. You don't want people to, you know, that can get through the 5-digit secure code to be able to add a payee and then wire your money over. So other than that, it's very, very quick, very responsive, and a very nice UI. So if you are a Barclays customer, it's free and it's highly recommended.
Yes, being a Barclays customer, the other limitation there.
It is the other one, yeah.
Cool.
Or if anyone wants to go on my bank account, just give me a shout.
Rightio. Okay, my pick, I'm kind of cheating here. It's iOS functionality that's been moved over to the Mac, and it's a little application called PopClip. And basically what it does is when you're on an iOS device and you select some text, you get those kind of little pill-shaped box that appears at the top. It says copy, paste, so on and so forth. Well, it brings that functionality to the Mac.
Oh, okay.
It's very cool. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And also you can add extensions onto it. So if you, at the moment, you just kind of highlight some text, you have the ability to search, cut, copy, and paste. But you can then add on little things such as, I'll try and find them just now. So you can add on search, you can open links, you can use an email address, you can reveal in Finder, you can use dictionary, you can then download further libraries or extensions to when you highlight something, you can then capitalize it or uppercase it, lowercase it, change formatting, add it to notes, send it to Evernote, send it to Notational Velocity, OmniFocus things, so on and so forth. You can email it to somebody, you can tweet it, you can put something, search for it in Spotify. There's an amazing amount of extensions into this thing, and it basically just creates this little the same little kind of lozenge thing that you get on iOS, but a little arrow to the right hand side, which then adds all the other stuff to it, basically. Absolutely awesome little thing. I just found it the other day. It was actually Don McAllister recommended it. I think it was on another Mac show. I think it was MacBook Weekly, actually. But very cool. It is $2.99 in the Mac store on the UK. In the UK, I should say. And yeah, pretty awesome. Try it.
I'm just looking through the plugins for that. That's really, really cool. Mm. It's got plugins for Things, which is my to-do application. Yeah, Twitter, everything. Spotify. This is brilliant. Thanks very much, Paul.
Yes, no problem. So it was, as I say, kind of cheating because it wasn't officially an iOS thing, but it's iOS functionality on the Mac.
We'll let you off.
Yeah, pretty cool. cool. Okay, that's basically us for our show this week. I hope you've enjoyed it half as much as Streak did. The last thing was really for to just ask you to please give us some reviews. We still are kind of suffering from our audio problems at the beginning, and I do get the irony that I'm telling you this while there's some kind of weird white noise going on in the background, but we promise that we've tried, with the exception of right now, to fix the audio. So please can you go on and say that our audio is fantastic and that we are fantastic and you love us and stuff. Even just going on and giving us a star review would be really beneficial to us. If you want to contact...
It's hard for the internet to maintain high sound quality when we are this awesome.
Indeed. If you want to send in a question at the Trouble Gusset, please feel free to tweet any of us, or you can tweet the network, that's at British Tech, or you can email the network, britishtechnews@gmail.com. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I am Paul Wheatley, that's Paul, Whateley. Roddy, who are you on Twitter?
I'm me on Twitter, Paul. That's RODTI, also on app.net as well.
Yes, you're the one person, yeah.
I'm the one, only one person on app.net.
Ian, who are you on Twitter?
I go by Maniac Yak, which is MANIACYAK.
And Mr. Streak Machine, what are you on Twitter?
Somewhat obviously enough, I am at Streak Machine, all in one word.
Perfect. Okay. We will see you in 2 weeks' time with likely very little Apple news, but tons and tons of rumours, tomfoolery and nonsense. Thank you very much, everybody, and good night.